The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Well, first of all, since this will originally broadcast the day after Christmas, I certainly hope everyone has finished unwrapping their presents and Santa was good to everybody. And if you are of a different faith than the Christian faith, I hope your holiday season is going well as well. So let's start off with, actually, this was probably should have been read before Christmas, but it'll work. From the Reader's Digest, the Dear Reader note from Jason Burmeister, the chief content officer at the Reader's Digest. Ode to an old tree. Our old artificial Christmas tree was in rough shape by the time we retired it. At least a decade it passes, my wife and I bought the tree, a medium-sized fake fir with built-in lights, had a Target in Brooklyn, and schlepped it on the subway to our tiny apartment. Over the years, we hauled that tree from apartment to apartment, jammed it into a moving truck to Los Angeles, and later crammed the weathered box into another moving truck, this time to Chicago and our current home. By the end, layers of duct tape held the box together, the wear and tear of a decade of delivering holiday cheer. I'm going to insert a little bit here. I can remember that because mine was exactly the same way. Our little tree looked run down, but it was the only tree our family ever knew. It stands proud and glowing in the background of photos of me and my pregnant wife during our last Christmas in Brooklyn without our children. Our oldest was born a month later during the January blizzard. The tree shows up again in the next year's photos, this time surrounded by holiday gifts for a boy about to turn one. Then it appears in photos of our son and his one-month-old brother, this time with California palm trees just outside the patio door. And in more recent photos, our tree lights up the windows overlooking glistening Chicago snow. This year, after much debate, we decided to retire our dear old tree, with its bent branches and the lights that had burned out years ago. Rather than feel melancholy, we used the moment to launch a new family tradition. Our first real Christmas tree. And there's a picture of him standing in front of his car with his two boys and the Christmas tree tied to the top of the car. So here's a toast to all your family's traditions, the old and the new. And I hope you enjoy this issue, which you fill with stories of seasonal joy and holiday cheer. Happy holidays. A ride for a lifetime. An Uber trip took a detour when the driver offered his ailing passenger one of his kidneys. Bill Sommel was having a tough Friday. It was October 2020, and the 71-year-old who was dealing with kidney failure had been on a dialysis for a few years, found himself at a vascular center 30 miles from home for the second time in 24 hours. The day before, his brother had driven him to the Vascular Institute in Vineland, New Jersey, for a routine declotting of his dialysis access port. But it unexpectedly clogged again that night. Sommel was no stranger to struggles of kidney disease. He'd been diagnosed with diabetes more than 20 years before, which led to his kidney problems. He was on the transplant list, but no batches had yet appeared. So he continued with his treatments, including the periodic port declotting that had inexorably failed this time. Without a ride lined up for Friday's do-over, Sommel took an Uber to and from his appointment. Timothy Letts was driving north to visit a friend when his phone pinged with a request for Sammy's ride home. The trip was out of Letts' way, so he took the fare, figuring the passenger was coming from a medical facility. He likely needed a ride. When someone got into the car, Letts could see the older man was lethargic but in good spirits. And as they set out, turning the page, hang on a second, on the 40-minute drive to Sommel's home in Salem, the pair got to chatting. Bill really lit up the car with positive energy, said Letts, who shared with someone that he was a proud Army veteran. And there's a picture of Timothy Letts, and he has a tattoo on his right arm with a rifle and a pair of boots stuck in the ground and a helmet on top, obviously in memory of one of his friends. Sommel, who works in sales at a company that produces piping, mentioned in the past he'd enjoyed volunteering in his church and in his community, even serving as president of the city council. But as he's doing less these days, he exclaimed, because the dialysis treatment left him exhausted. Thunsemil revealed that he was searching for a kidney donor. Lutz joked that he'd be a good donor candidate, given he didn't drink or smoke. Sommel agreed, though he didn't think much of it as they kept driving. Hutz, however, couldn't stop thinking about it. Let's believe in helping others, so donating kidney was something not always on my mind, he says. Plus, he already liked and respected Samuel. So about a quarter mile from the Samuel's house, Lutz said, I'd like to see if I could be a match to give you a kidney. I was shocked, Samuel requires. Chuckling, he was shaking so hard he could barely write his name when they exchanged contact information. Once inside his home, he excitedly told his wife, the Uber driver just offered me his kidney. After the initial excitement, Samuel started feeling a bit less optimistic. He was touched by Lutz's offer, though he wondered if it had just been an emotional moment. Would he hear from him, and what was the likelihood they'd be a match? But Lutz was true to his word. He got in touch with Samuel just a few hours later, and by the next week, Lutz had contacted the kidney transplant program. After a month-long screening process, including an interview, sharing medical records, and meeting a living donor advocate, and testing, the results are in. Lutz was an ideal donor. He and Samuel were a perfect match. On December 7, 2021, 14 months after they ended up in the same car by chance, Samuel and Lutz had their surgeries. It was a success. Today, Samuel is doing well, working full-time remotely and enjoying time with his family, and no more dialysis. Lutz has moved to Germany to work with Army's Family and Morale Welfare and Recreation Department as a civilian. He and Samuel keep in touch and look forward to the day they can reunite. Samuel is especially excited. After all, he says, living donors are special people. Glad to hear it. Rescuing our best friends. It was a terrifying scene. Smoke billowing from the dog resort, a canine daycare center in Seattle. More than 100 panicked pups were inside, looking for a way out. The fire department had yet to arrive, so employees and neighboring businesses took the lead. Workers at Hellbent Brewing Company cut a hole in the fence and lured 35 dogs into their bar. A team from Classic Collision loaded a truck with 27 dogs and drove them to the repair offices. Other businesses, including a Mexican restaurant, pitched in as well. All 115 dogs survived the fire. As one rescuer told the Washington Post, you know that Mr. Rogers saying, look for the helpers? That's how I felt. I didn't want to be the guy standing around watching. I wanted to be a helper. Armageddon out of here. It turns out that we may not be going the way of the dinosaurs anytime soon. Last September, an asteroid called Dimorphos, roughly the size of the Great Pyramid, was threatening to ram a larger asteroid, Didymos. According to Fast Company, researchers at NASA and the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory decided to see if they could mess with the asteroid's trajectory. They sent a golf cart-sized spacecraft hurtling at 14,000 miles per hour into Dimorphos. Success! The impact nudged it out of its orbit, giving Earth hope that it should ever be threatened by a rogue rock. Recycling healthcare. Every year, thousands of Americans are priced out of costly medical equipment they need. Owen O'Neill, a nurse in Palm Beach, Florida, who had witnessed the problem firsthand, has a solution. Give the equipment from patients who no longer need it to those who do. And thus, Clinics Can Help was born. Since its inception in 2005, the nonprofit has supplied more than 18,000 children and adults with everything from adaptive strollers to hospital beds, all donated. Zoe Vera 8 has cerebral palsy. Clinics Can Help supplied her with a wheelchair and an adaptive bicycle and a beach wheelchair. O'Neill told People, there's no reason why people should struggle to get this equipment when it's so accessible. Those are nice ways to start off the reading. Best pals. Cider and grown-up Leo remain best friends. Cider the service cat. Cider originally came to Warrior Canine Connection, the nonprofit service dog organization where I work, to control pests in the barn on our 80-acre property. However, he much preferred the warm company puppy quarters where our pups are born and raised for the first 12 weeks of their lives. And he took up permanent refuge with his newfound litter mates. In the process, he also has become essential in socializing dogs to cats and new animals. Cider is friendly, but has attitude, which helps him hold his own with rambunctious puppies. And like most cats, he thinks he's the king. A few years ago, a puppy was born with swelling in his brain. Leo survived, but was small and clumsy. It was as if Cider knew, and seeing Leo became his favorite playmate, snuggle buddy, and primary tongue bath recipient. Leo was eventually adopted by a staff member, so he regularly returns to our facility to visit his first friends. Dozens of hopeful service pups have pranced across our floors and introduced himself to Cider. He's not only an integral part of training, but also a wealthful member of the pack. And there's a picture of Cider. He's a yellow and white, not really a tiger cat, although he does have some stripes, but big green eyes. And he's right next to Leo, who is a white Labrador retriever, and just snuggled right up next to him like that's the place he should be. Hang on a second, got to turn a couple pages. The Art of Living, Food, Facts, and Fun. A Cup of Comfort. A delicious beginning of a beloved winter tradition. Ooh, it's cold. Drinking hot chocolate. After skating, skiing, or shoveling snow, nothing warms you up better than a cup of hot cocoa. Although today's typical toppings, whipped cream, marshmallows, crushed peppermint candy, may be modern marvels, chocolate was first consumed in liquid form by the Olmec people of northwestern Central America around 1500 BC. It was even enjoyed by the Aztec emperor, Montezuma, and the Aztec word for it, Xocatl, pronounced Xocahuatl or Xocahuatl, by the way, that's spelled X-O-C-O-L-A-T-L, or Xocahuatl, evolved into the English word chocolate. And that's interesting. If any of you watch or listen to Dancing with the Stars, one of the star dancers is a 17-year-old girl whose name starts with an X, and nobody can pronounce it. But apparently that's how you do. It starts with a show, S-H-O-H. But the Aztecs didn't serve their cocoa hot. And since sugar had not yet arrived from Europe, back then the drink was often flavored with peppers and spices. That may not have been quite as indulgent as today's version, but it was more palatable if you believed, as the Aztecs did, that chocolate was a gift from the gods and had healing properties. After the Spanish arrived in the Americas in the 1500s, liquid chocolate made its way across the pond, where wealthy Europeans added sugar and drank it warm. In Chocolate History, Culture, and Heritage, Arthur Bertram Gordon says hot chocolate became the beverage of the aristocracy, as sugar was still a luxury. Marie Antoinette even had a servant with the title Chocolate Maker to the Queen. Doctors also began using it to mask the unpleasant taste of medicines, and some doctors today still suggest that parents try that. Soon enough, though, hot chocolate caught on with the masses. Chocolate houses, a cross between cafes and casinos, started popping up around the 17th century Europe. In these lively places, hot chocolate was poured from gilded pots into elegant cups. Anyone looking for such a posh experience can still find it today at the famed Parisian Tea Room Angelina's, which also has a location in New York City. But by the end of the 18th century, chocolate houses had mostly died off, partly because the cost of chocolate was much higher than that of coffee or tea. In colonial America, meanwhile, George Washington is said to have enjoyed a breakfast of cornmeal pancakes alongside a warm chocolate drink, rumored to have been spiked with brandy, which would not surprise me. Marshmallows first came into the picture in 1917 when the company Angelus Marshmallows published a recipe for the hot cocoa topped with their product. In another genius marketing move, the company also hitched its wagon to sweet potatoes with a recipe for a side dish that has since become a Thanksgiving staple. Instant cocoa is another American invention. Created in the late 1950s when dairy company owner Charles Sauna faced an oversupply of powdered coffee creamer. His solution? Mix the creamer, sugar, and cocoa powder together, thus creating the original Swiss Miss formulation. Taking a tour of international cups of cocoa, in Italy you can try Chiocco Cioccolata Colada, a thick pudding-like version. In Colombia and Ecuador, chocolate caliente is served with a dollop of soft farmer cheese, a divinely gooey experience. In Filipino hot chocolate, Sikvat is served with mango chunks. However you choose to jazz up your own cup, the simple pleasure of drinking a warm, chocolatey beverage is one that hasn't gotten old for thousands of years. A gift from the gods? Perhaps. But it's certainly one that keeps on giving, and there's a picture of a large thing of hot chocolate with a peppermint stick stuck in it, a pile of whipped cream with chocolate flakes on top of it, and wrapped in a pretty red and green scarf. And even though it's not January in the Super Bowl yet, where the quarterback or the winning team player always says, I'm going to Disney World, there's 13 magical facts about the wonderful world of Disney. Number one, the Walt Disney Company turned 100 this year. which started in 1923 as a tiny animation studio, has become the world's second largest media and entertainment conglomerate after Apple. Disney films have won 135 Oscars, and Walt himself holds the record for the most Academy Awards won by an individual, 22. Mickey Mouse, number 2, may not have been the first Disney character. That would be Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, who looks strikingly similar to Mickey, but he is undoubtedly the most popular. Mickey is better known in this country than anyone living or dead, real or fictional, the Los Angeles Times reports. Market researchers say that his 97% recognition rate even edges out Santa Claus. The iconic mouse ear as a souvenir remains Disney's most popular piece of merchandise with annual sales of $3 million. In case of knowing how expensive Disney World is, that's probably about 100,000 of them. In a case of life imitating art, the voice actors behind Mickey and Minnie Mouse fell in love while on the job. Wayne Allwine, who voiced Mickey for a record 32 years, met Russie Taylor, the voice of Minnie, in 1988. They married 3 years later. That's cool. Number 4. Hitting theaters in 1937, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was Disney's first full-length film. It took 3 years to produce and came in 3 times over budget. Insiders nicknamed the project Disney's Folly, but it paid off. The film earned more than $8 million during its initial release, about $165 million in today's money, making it the top-grossing animated movie of all time. Fresh off this success, number 5, Walt Disney purchased a home for his parents in 1938. But his mother, Flora, tragically died inside from carbon monoxide poisoning. Some fans say it explains the dead mother trope in many of subsequent Disney films. The rumor that Walt Disney's body has been cryogenically frozen, this is number 6, is so popular that it has even spawned a related conspiracy theory that 2013's hit Frozen was so named to redirect internet searches about the founder's final resting place. Disney's own daughter confirmed that her father was cremated following his death in 1966, but the internet just won't let it go. Oh, that's terrible. For those of you who don't know, that's the theme song from the movie Frozen. Number 7, the Marvel Universe. Think Spider-Man, the Hulk, and the rest of the Avengers, which the Walt Disney Company bought in 2009 for $4 billion, is now worth more than $50 billion. But with all the superhero blockbusters movies, account for just 11% of Disney's total revenue. Television networks, Disney owns ABC, ESPN, FX, and National Geographic, among others, are its top moneymakers, followed by theme parks and merchandise. Number 8. Disneyland was originally slated to be a small park on just 8 acres of land opposite Walt Disney Studios in Burbank, California. But the project soon outgrew its proposed location. By the time Disneyland opens its gate in 1955 in Anaheim, an hour's drive from Burbank, it stretched across 160 acres. 1 million people came to the park within its first 10 weeks alone. Today, Disney theme parks worldwide welcome more than 115 million visitors each year. Number 9. Beneath many Disney's parks is a network of tunnels that allow staff members to move about the park unobserved, a brainwave from Walt, who was irked after spotting costume characters walking through themed areas where they didn't belong while on their way to parts where they did. The original and largest of these systems lies under the Magic Kingdom in Orlando, Florida. It spans 9 acres and costs more to build than the theme park itself. And I had a friend who and his wife, who we met at Disney World, who worked there. He used to tell me about the tunnels and how much fun it was to go up and down in those things. Number 10, with about 75,000 cast members, a.k.a. employees, Walt Disney World in Florida is America's biggest single-site employer. Disneyland, however, has graduated many more celebrities. Steve Martin honed his sleight-of-hand skills at Merlin's Magic Shop in Fantasyland. Kevin Costner worked as a skipper on the Jungle Cruise, and Robin Williams performed as a mime on Main Street. Number 11. NASA astronaut Gordon Cooper of Mercury 9, part of America's first human space program, helped consult on the design of the Space Mountain ride at Disneyland, and the original skeletons featured in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride in 1967 were, in fact, real human remains acquired from UCLA Medical Center. The bones have since been given a proper burial and replaced with fakes. Number 12. Following the success of Finding Nemo in 2003, many kids started freeing their pet fish by flushing them down the toilet, leading to an uptick in emergency plumbing calls. Another don't try this at home trend. Disney earned Bentley sparked was a rash of amphibian kissing and a spike in child salmonella causes after the 2000 release of The Princess and the Frog. Number 13. Animators, literally, draw their inspiration from real people sometimes. Jessica Rabbit was a tribute to 1960s pinup Rita Hayworth. Illustrators looked at photos of a teenage Alyssa Milano to create Ariel in The Little Mermaid. The four vultures in The Jungle Book were inspired by the Beatles. Aladdin's toothy grin comes direct from Tom Cruise. And the titular trash compactor in WALL-E is believed to be named in honor of the man behind it all, Walter Elias Disney. Not so holly jolly. If a holly plant's leaves are being doubled by deer, it switches on genes that makes the leaves spiky when they regrow. So on taller hollies, the upper leaves, which are out of the deer's reach, are smooth, while the lower leaves are prickly. Well, that's interesting. Who knew that? I sure didn't. And let's see. Got to turn a few pages here. Sorry for the delay. Well, darn. More than just a couple. World of medicine. Take a walk in any weather. Plenty of studies show that green spaces such as city parks and blue spaces such as beaches boost psychological well-being. But what if your nearby landscapes are covered with snow? These white spaces offer perks too. In a recent Polish experiment involving 87 women ages 19 to 55, a 40-minute walk in a snowy woodland improves body image, an important aspect of mental health. The researchers think that trudging through That trudging through snow might have shifted the participants' thoughts about their body, from insecurities about its appearance to an appreciation of its abilities. And soaking in the beauty of winter probably helped them relax and feel more positive about the world in general. Well, if we ever get any snow around here, we could do that. Know the signs of colorectal cancer. Unlike people over age 50, younger adults aren't screened regularly for colorectal cancer, CRC, but their CR rate has been risen steadily since the 1990s, possibly because of unhealthy diets. A study led by the Washington University School of Medicine revealed the four red flags that should prompt untested people to see their doctors: abdominal pain, rectal bleeding, diarrhea, and iron deficiency anemia. People with even one of these conditions were twice as likely to have CRC compared with people without them. With three or more of those conditions, the risk of CRC went up more than six times. People who live with depression often struggle to find pleasure, even in situations they would normally enjoy. It's as if the low mood colors their perception of things. To get at the reasons, Stanford medical scientists analyzed brain activity and found something that may explain the phenomena. In a healthy brain, a processing region called the anterior insula sends signals to the anterior cingulate cortex, a region involved with emotions. But in three-quarters of subjects with depression, the usual pattern was reversed. The science showed that treatment called Stanford Neuromodulation Therapy, SNT, help shift neural activity back to the normal direction. Administered in 50 short sessions over 5 days, SNT involves placing a powerful electromagnetic coil on the scalp to stimulate specific regions of the brain. Clinical trials have shown that the therapy can help many sufferers in the large, hard-to-treat group that doesn't respond to antidepressants. Dementia and the digital factor. Spending time online may prevent or delay cognitive issues, suggests research from New York University. In a study that followed people over the age of 50 for an average of nearly 8 years, those who spent time on the Internet every day had the lowest risk of developing dementia. Those who rarely or never logged on were around twice as susceptible. Being online stimulates the mind from staying socially connected to finding interesting things to read. The study showed benefit to people to spend as little as 6 minutes and as much as 2 hours online. But don't overdo it. Though there was no proof of cause and effect, subjects who were online for more than 6 hours a day had the highest risk. Women and clogged arteries. Thanks in part to estrogen's protective effects, women who get atherosclerosis tend to get it later than men, between 64 and 68. For men, it's 52 to 56. But once a woman has clogged arteries, concluded a study of the published in European Heart Journal Cardiovascular Imaging, she may need stronger treatments to avoid a heart attack. Women's arteries tend to be smaller than men's, and that could explain why the same amount of plaque is a greater threat to a woman's blood flow. That's worth considering when choosing a treatment plan, along with other factors such as age and the presence of risks, such as high cholesterol. How about a few giggles? Laughter, the best medicine. And there's a picture of a snowman with a top hat standing in front of a Chunky Donuts coffee counter. And notice in the background, there's a table with a big melted pile of snow. And he's saying, "But my wife ordered iced coffee." A man phoned his adult daughter and told her the bad news. He and his wife were getting a divorce. "But why, Dad? What happened?" she asked. "I'm miserable," he said, "and I'm leaving tonight." "Don't do anything. I'll fly over tomorrow." "Okay, why don't you bring John and the kids, too? Your mom will want to see them." They hung up, and the man turned to his wife. "Honey, the kids are coming over for Hanukkah." A police officer calls the station. "Sarge, I have a problem. A woman shot her husband for stepping on the floor she just mopped." "Have you arrested her?" asked the sergeant. "No," said the cop. "The floor's still wet." He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He left it at home. He's texting his wife. It was Christmas time, and a kindergarten teacher was receiving gifts from her pupils. The florist's son handed her a box. "I bet I know what's in it," the teacher said. "Flowers." "That's right," said the boy. Next, the daughter of the candy store owner handed her a box. "Is it assorted chocolates?" "Yes." The next gift was from the son of the liquor store owner. The package was leaking, so the teacher touched a drop of liquid to her finger and tasted it. "Is it wine?" she asked. "No," the boy replied excitedly. The teacher tried another drop. "Is it champagne?" The boy, grinning, shook his head no. The teacher took one more taste, declaring, "I give up." "What is it?" "It's a puppy." Oh, that's terrible. Why do some people refuse to eat fresh grapes? They have their raisins. It's minus 10 in Alaska, and Ned is drinking in his local saloon. "Ned," says the bartender, "you owe me quite a bit on your tab." "Sorry," says Ned, "I'm flat broke." "That's okay. I'll just write your name and the amount you owe right here on the wall." "But I don't want my friends to see that." "They won't," says the bartender. "I'm going to hang your Parker over it until it's paid." This past Christmas, I told my girlfriend for months in advance that all I wanted was an Xbox. That's it. Beginning and the end of the list. Xbox. You know what you got me? A homemade frame with a picture of from our first date together, which was fine, because I got her an Xbox. And I bet it didn't get much else. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports. Last week, we were finishing up the quick fixes for annoying kitchen problems, and we got through two of them, which included the optimized lighting and flooring, and improve organization and storage. However, let's talk about making cooking easier now. Those of us who spend time on food preparation and cleanup are putting on average a bit over an hour a day in the kitchen, says the 2022 American Time Use Survey from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's surely plenty more for holiday and other celebratory meals. These steps and expert-recommended gear can help you be more comfortable as you cook and save time, too. No sweat prep. Relieve back and back strain. If you find it easier to sit than stand while doing at least some of your food prep, make sure the table you use is optimal height for chopping and cutting, between 28 and 34 inches high, with enough space that you can easily slide a chair underneath. Give your hands a break. Have you ever avoided a recipe just so you didn't have to struggle with your peeler or that hard-to-open jar? Some simple tools can help. Compared with traditional vegetable peelers, Y-shaped mallets are easier to grip, says Trudeau at the AOTA. Peelers come in all different sizes, shapes, and handles, and are fairly inexpensive, he adds. One good candidate is the OXO Good Grips Perp Y Peeler, which features a built-in tool for removing potato eyes. For those stubborn jar lids, consider using a helper tool such as the Tenor Jar Gripper. It also comes with a smaller size for $9. This version makes an opening twist-off bottle tops easier on your hands. You can make opening cans simpler and safer with the OXO Good Grip Smooth Edge Can Opener. It has an ergonomic handle and makes a smooth cut on the side of the lid rather than inside it. Lift pots with less effort. If you're replacing your cookware, you might think about purchasing some pieces that have two handles. The benefit, these pieces can be lifted with both hands. And I got a picture of the Aussie Good Grips, and it runs for $13. The Tempura Jar Gripper goes for $11. The Aussie Good Grips Smooth Edge Can Opener goes for $26. And the Deluxe Silicone Hot Handler goes for $12. I'm sorry, these pieces can be lifted with both hands, which distributes the weight more evenly. My apologies on that. The thing continued on the next page. The Conmore Elite Devon Stainless Steel Cookware Set features some pieces with two handles. Steamer baskets with an extendable center handle, such as KitchenAid Universal Steamer Basket for $20, Amazon.com, lets you remove foods from the pot more easily after cooking without the need to carry a hot pot. To protect yourself from hot handles on your pots, silicone handle covers like the Deluxe Silicone Hot Handle Holder are a vast improvement over cloth pot holders, and they go for $12. That ain't cheap. Chop and slice trouble-free. A knife known as a Mezzaluna, such as the Kitchen Auto Rocker Knife, works with a gentle rocking motion and allows you to chop items like vegetables and fresh herbs without having to lift your arms. When you're tacking a large amount of hard-to-cut vegetables, such as carrots, you can pull out the food processor, of course. But if you'd rather not do that, using a hand vegetable chopper, a tool with a small square grid of metal blades that cuts up produce as it's pushed through the grid. CR recently evaluated six of these and the group. And the PL8 ProVeg chopper for $75 from Williams-Sonoma was the editor's choice for stability and the evenness of its cut. The DuoGlide Duo Edge Carving Knife, $29, at arthritissupplies.com, has a large, comfortable handle and air pockets in the blade that reduce friction and make it easier to slice a roast or a cooked turkey. And using a garlic press is literally a pain for you. The Chef and Garlic Zoom, $17, at chefn.com, might change that. As you roll the tools along your countertop, it will mince any garlic bobs you place inside it. Simple time savers. Speed up preheating. A toaster oven preheats more quickly than one that's full size, to see our home reporter, Tanya Christian. But many regular ovens now have a rapid preheat setting, which can save you time when roasting meats or veggies. Skip this for baking because it heats the oven less uniformly than a regular preheat. Air fry this way. Placing only one layer of food in your air fryer will help it cook more evenly and quickly, with fewer disruption for flipping. Once halfway through, it is usually adequate. Also, give your items a spritz with an air oil spray or mister. This will help food cook a bit faster. Select the right burner. To get water boiling more efficiently, cover your pot and set it on the stove's most powerful burner. It's usually the largest, located in the front right position. Mine's actually over in the front left position. This burner is ideal for stir-frying and sautéing, too. Turn to the convection setting. Many ranges, wall ovens, and toaster ovens have a convection feature, which uses fans to circulate hot air, shortening cooking times by up to 25%. Some microwaves have this function as well. Use the warming drawer to warm rolls in a couple of minutes or hold hot dishes without wasting oven space. Pop this in the drawer if your range has this feature. These typically have a default temperature of about 170 degrees Fahrenheit. And here's something we are all concerned about. How to keep your phone charged, and your laptop and tablet too. Here are the best strategies and cores to stay powered up. When was the last time you went a whole day without worrying that your cell phone was running out of juice? At times, you can hardly go to the supermarket, much less the airport, without a charging cord in your bag. And we all know that syncing failing when you get your battery dips to, say, 11%, and access to an electric outlet is still hours away. But keeping your phone and other gadgets charged doesn't have to be an anxiety-provoking. With a few tips in hand, you can make it through the day without fear of being stranded with a useless phone. We've assembled some tools and tricks to help you stay charged up when you go. What to expect from your batteries? Almost all our electric devices are powered by lithium-ion batteries, and these batteries have been getting better in recent years. Increased battery capacity, combined with technologies that adjust power consumption to suit the job at hand, have helped our gadgets run much longer on a single charge. With top-of-the-line phones, it's not uncommon for CR's lab to get 40 hours of use or more per charge. At the low end, it's roughly 25 hours. A great laptop might deliver 25 hours on a single charge, while some tablets power along for 15 hours. But how long your device depends a lot on how you use it. When you're low on power, there are steps you could take to maximize the battery life between charges. So far, we've been talking about new batteries. The picture changes as the device gets older. As batteries age, they eventually stop holding a charge for quite as long. After several years, you might see a noticeable difference. We're talking few hours of battery life, not minutes per charge. While you can't stop this process, you can slow it down somewhat by following basic guidelines, which we'll read later. One extra note. On battery safety, you may have read about L-ion batteries catching fire, especially the ones that power electric bicycles. A few years ago, the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 phone had problems too. But those are exceptions. The batteries in mainstream devices are usually safe to use as long as they haven't been damaged. In general, try to avoid exposing your gadgets to hot sun or temperatures above 95 degrees Fahrenheit. And if any device gets noticeably hot while charging, unplug it immediately. Tips and tactics. Stay powered all day. Concerned about your phone going dead while you're on the go? You can make it run longer on a single charge with a few simple tricks. Dim the display. Your phone screen can eat up a lot of power. That's especially true if it's set at maximum brightness, which is rarely necessary. To preserve power on an iPhone, go to Settings, Display, and Brightness, and decrease the brightness using the slider. On an Android phone, such as a Samsung device, go to Settings, Display. Note that Android phone settings can vary slightly by brand. We're using Samsung as our example because these are the most popular Android phones by far. Lower the brightness only to the point where you can still view the screen comfortably. There's not much point in stretching your battery life if you can't actually use your phone. Phones offer two extra ways to save power using the same settings menu. First, you can choose to use a dark background and set the display to go to sleep or auto lock after just 30 seconds of inactivity. In addition, most phones save power by automatically adjusting the brightness to suit the lighting conditions throughout the day. On an iPhone, go to Settings, Accessibility, Display and Text Size, Auto Brightness. On a Samsung phone, the feature is enabled by default. Turn down background activity. As you go about your business each day, cooking, shopping, walking, many apps on your phone are diligently working in the background, fetching new email, logging your location, and monitoring the latest developments on Facebook. This can make the battery run down a bit faster. Don't need your apps to be constantly updating and burning through your charge? You can stop them from freshening their data until you actually open them. On iPhone, go to Settings, General, Background App Refresh. There you can choose which apps to get refreshed periodically on their own and which ones to get updates only when you're using them. Or block all of your apps from updating when they're not in use by clicking on Background App Refresh at the top of the screen and choosing Off. On a Samsung phone, go to Settings, Battery and Device Care, Battery, Background, Usage Limit. Stop searching for a signal. When you're on the move, your phone is continually looking for the nearest cell tower and Wi-Fi network to keep you connected. That's generally a good thing. But if you're on a hike where those signals are unavailable, it's just a waste of power. When you want to preserve the battery power and you know you'll be out of range, you can activate the airplane mode on your phone's main settings screen. That shuts off the cellular and Wi-Fi functions. Of course, you won't be able to receive calls or text, browse the web, or stream online videos or music. If you're going to be out of Wi-Fi range all day, running errands say you can also save power by shutting off only your Wi-Fi connectivity. Or if you'll be connected via Wi-Fi for an extended period, you can turn off your cellular data. Use your phone's power saving mode. Most cell phones can automatically save power by adjusting various settings when your battery dips below a certain level. To buy a little more time, the phone will reduce screen brightness and temporarily halt downloads and email updates. Samsung's power saving mode also disables battery snapping features such as always on display. Once you recharge the battery, your original settings are restored. Apple phones will prompt you to activate low power mode when your battery level reaches 20%, and again when it drops to 10%. Samsung sends a prompt when the battery icon at the top of the screen turns red. But you don't have to wait. Anytime you're looking to stretch battery life, you can activate those power saving modes on your own. On an iPhone, go to Settings, Battery, and toggle the switch for low power mode. On a Samsung phone, go to Settings, Battery and Device Care, Battery, Then just toggle the switch for power savings mode. Mastering your phone settings. Dimming the display. You can dim the brightness with the slider tool. If you select the dark displays, the background shifts from white to black. Scroll to Auto Lock, Apple, or Screen Timeout, Samsung, to make the screen turn off after 30 seconds of inactivity. Reducing app refreshes. In the background activity settings, you can choose which apps get refreshed with new data you're not using, or you can stop background refreshes on all of them. For iPhone apps, it's a simple thumbs up or thumbs down decision. On a Samsung phone, you can assign apps to these three buckets: sleeping, deep sleeping, or never sleeping. Deep sleeping apps never refresh in the background, and sleeping apps refresh only occasionally. Keep your battery healthy longer. The tactics we've already described can help your phone run all day. The following tips can help you extend the long-term life of your battery. First of all, avoid extreme temperatures. This one's easy. Try to avoid leaving your phone or laptop in a parked car on a sun-drenched dashboard when you're driving. That's because very high temperatures can permanently degrade battery capacity. No, this doesn't mean you should stop using your phone in the summer. Temperatures below 32 degrees Fahrenheit sap power, but are less likely to actually damage the battery. Go easy on the fast charging. Today's phone often have a fast charging feature that can refill your battery to 50% of capacity in as little as half an hour's time, using a high-powered adapter. Fast charging is very handy when you're in a rush, but it has a downside. It degrades Li-ion batteries more rapidly than a relatively slow 5-watt charges of old, according to researchers from the University of Michigan Energy Institute and the University of Michigan Center for Sustainable Systems, who reviewed academic literature and information from device manufacturers. Quick charging on occasion is fine, but when there's no rush, you're better off using the 5-watt charger from a former phone. Keep your phone charged between 20 and 80% capacity. Phone makers say your battery will stay healthy the longer you limit the amount of time when it's charged to 100% or depleted to 0%. The takeaway? You don't have to monitor it like a friend, like a fiend, but try to recharge the battery when you see it getting low instead of waiting until the last minute. Prefer to charge it overnight? Go for it. If you adopt that 20 to 80% guideline, you may find yourself wondering about the wisdom of letting your phone charge overnight, especially given how quickly today's modern powers power up. Doesn't that leave the battery at 100% an hour after hour? The answer? Don't worry about it. Phones are designed to minimize stress on the battery when they're not charging all night long. In fact, iPhones don't get topped off until right before your typical wake-up time. You might even see a bedtime notice saying that charging will be complete by, say, 5 a.m. So if it's convenient, plug it in and wake up to a fully charged phone. For safety, just leave it in a ventilated spot when charging, not on a blanket or under a pillow. When it's time for a new battery. If your cell phone can barely make it to lunchtime without a recharge, you may be thinking it's time to buy a new phone. But hold off to save yourself some money. Consider springing for a new battery instead. As long as the phone is in good shape, no cracked screen for instance, replacing the battery can make the device work like it's brand new and could save you money. It's more environmentally friendly and sustainable as well. If you're curious about the health of your battery, here's how to do a spot check. On an iPhone, go to the Settings, Battery, Battery Health, and Charging. See what percentage reflects the battery's capacity now relative to when it was new. On a Samsung phone, go to Settings, Battery and Device Care, Diagnostics, Phone Diagnostics, Battery Status. This shows the battery present capacity in milliampere hours, or MAH, and tells you that it's good, bad, or normal. For context, the new Samsung Galaxy S23 comes with a 3900 mAh battery. If you do want a new battery, you'll find technicians with the parts and tools to do the work at places like the Apple Store, Best Buy, and U-Brake Fix, which is a national chain. All of them complete the repairs to the manufacturer's specifications. At the Apple Store, the out-of-warranty price to swap a fresh battery is $99 for newer model iPhones 14 and 15. And $49 to $89 for earlier models. Best Buy Geek Squad provides a service for the Galaxy S9 to the S23 Ultra for $70 to $80. Your charging toolkit. These accessories can keep your phone running from morning to night. Lightning to USB-C cable. These cords work with iPhone models up to the iPhone 14, including the SE, and can charge at different speeds depending on the power adapter you select. 5-watt, 20-watt, etc. 20 or 25-watt power adapter. This will fill a fast-charge phone with a half tank of battery power in about 30 minutes. Once the battery approaches 50%, the charging process slows to preserve the battery's health. USB-C to USB-C cable. This is the cord used by most laptops along with Android phones and the new iPhone 15. It typically supports fast charging, but can check the packaging just to be sure. A 5-watt charger. Got one of these from an old phone sitting around? Use it for a slow, steady charge that puts less strain on a battery, or buy a 5-watt charger at Amazon or Target. A wireless charging pad. Want fewer cords in your life? A wireless charger is the way to go. Look for a model that's QI certified, which makes it compatible with phones from Apple, Google, and Samsung. Some models let you charge your phone, earbuds, and smartwatch all at once. USB-A to USB-C cable. A plane or hotel room may present you with an old-school USB-A charging port. This cord has the wider connector at one end and either a slim USB-C shown or a lightning connector at the other end. And a portable charger. No wall out nearby? A portable charger like this one will refill your phone's battery on the go. Okay, this next section is kind of a hodgepodge of things. CR's Ultimate Guide to Cooking Appliances. We've tested hundreds of the latest kitchen essentials. Here's the best and the worst from our test. If you haven't shopped for a new cooking appliance lately, you're in for a few surprises. In the last decade or so, we've seen an explosion of features on everything from cooktops to microwaves, says Antonella Pomelia, CR senior market analyst who covers major cooking appliances. Think toaster ovens that can also air fry, ranges that program themselves to crisp up a perfect pizza, induction cooktops that turn themselves off when you remove the pan. While some new features may seem unnecessary, others can be genuinely helpful, taking care of mundane tasks so you can focus on the rest of your life. Salespeople will try to dazzle shoppers because they know they can feature no new features help pricier models stand out, Pomila says. The trick is to know what's out there, think about how you really cook, and make a list of what's actually important to you. In this guide, we share the key decisions you'll need to make to find the appliance that will work hardest for you. And, of course, we also highlight the best options. Ranges. The range is the workhorse of the kitchen, and the latest models pack more functionality than ever. Once premium features such as convection settings and high-powered burner are now the norm. Newer options include air fry settings, double ovens, Wi-Fi connectivity, built-in temperatures and probes, and even in-oven cameras. How to shop. Choose from gas or electric models. Generally, it's easy and cheapest to stick with the heat source you have. Gas models, which have gas-fueled stovetops and ovens, though dual-fuel options have electric ovens, provide the visual feedback of a flame but emit greenhouse gases and nitrogen dioxide, which has been linked to respiratory issues in children and others with underlying breathing problems. Electrics are emission-free and span a larger range of prices. Old-timey electric core ranges are often the cheapest, while induction ranges are usually the costliest. Smooth tops fall in between. Induction ranges tend to heat faster and simmer better than both gas and other electric ranges. Slide-ins, front-mounted controls, no back panel, look more modern but can cost more. Some controls are digital push buttons and others are knobs. Play around in the store to see what feels comfortable. Think about how often you'll use extra features, if at all. For instance, a double oven range may be great for avid cooks who often prep two dishes of different temperatures at once. But if you have a more modest need, you could save several $100 with a single oven range. What to avoid? We don't recommend pro-style gas ranges. These hefty models, typically built from solid stainless steel, can cost more than $4,000. Our tests recently find that they underperform compared with their mainstream counterparts. An expert tip. If you're shopping for an electric range, insist on at least one heating element designed to expand or contract to match the bottom of any pot or pan. And here's the top models, the GE Profile at $1,800, the LG LRE 6200 at $700, the LG LSE 633 $1,600, the GE JB7 at $800, the LG REL 632 at $1,000, and the GE Samsung, GE Bosch, LG Samsung, Frigidaire, and Samsung all scored very, very well. Cooktops. Instead of a range, you might opt for a cooktop and a separate wall oven. ranges are generally less expensive than the total cost of a separate cooktop and a wall oven, but opting for second appliances can offer more flexibility. A cooktop can be installed in more places, including the countertop of a central island. A wall oven can be installed at any height, so you won't have to bend down to remove a heavy roast or Thanksgiving turkey. Bear in mind that if your kitchen doesn't currently have separate cooking appliances, you'll probably need to spend thousands of dollars as part of a larger remodel to add cabinets for a wall oven and new gas or electric lines. How to shop. As with ranges, you can choose between gas and electric, then consider the features that make the most sense to you. Beyond that, evaluate the cooktop sizing. Most are 30 to 36 inches wide, and that's what we test. If you entertain frequently, a larger size enables you to work on as many as 6 burners at once. But most people will be well served by a 30-inch model with 4 or 5 burners, sometimes costing you a few hundred dollars less. While you can shop at big box stores, Home Depot and Lowe's, you often find more selections at dedicated appliance retailers, A.J. Madison Appliance Connection, and showrooms like those in local design centers or at Ferguson, a national chain. What to avoid? Don't be compelled to match your cooktop to your wall oven brand. There's performance advantage. You're better off choosing the model with features that fit best in your kitchen and align with the way you cook. An expert tip. If you go with gas, choose a model with continuous cooking grates. These will make it easier to slide pans between the burners. She's a lab technician for the American cooktops. And then we look at wall ovens. Wall ovens are often built into supporting cabinetry, and almost all are electric. Once novel features such as convection are now the norm, but options such as built-in temperature probes and an air frying setting will cost you more. Many wall ovens are self-cleaning, and some have quicker steam clean settings for smaller messes. How to shop. Single wall ovens will suffice for most households, but if you're a busy baker, particularly around the holidays, a double oven with 2 cavities of the same size can be helpful. The catch? They're also often double the price of a single wall oven. Another alternative is the combo wall oven, which pairs a built-in microwave over a wall oven, but you pay a premium there too. Single wall ovens start around $1,200, while combos are at least $2,000. Focus on the feature you care about. A built-in probe for cooking to an exact internal temperature is great if you often make roasts. Some models even shut off once the desired fuel temperature is reached. Ovens with air fryer settings have more capacity than a countertop air fryer. With Wi-Fi ovens, you can change the oven settings or even shut them off from afar. What to avoid? Because wall ovens are often installed in your line of sight and therefore are highly visible, avoid exterior finishes in plain stainless steel. Instead, look for smudge-proof or black stainless steel. And because you'll also be able to see inside the oven cavity more easily, choose a model with a highly rated self-clean cycle. An expert tip. Wall ovens installed at eye level may be required to get on your tiptoes to reach over the hot oven door to remove food. So try it in store to figure out what height feels comfortable for you. Microwaves. More people, 82%, own a microwave oven than any other kitchen appliance, according to a 2023 survey by Statista, a provider of market and consumer data. That's not surprising, given your microwave's versatility. The best microwaves don't just defrost and reheat, they do so evenly. And depending on a power level, they can cook a sweet potato in a few minutes instead of 45 to 50 minutes in the oven. And they can melt chocolate in just seconds. With the capabilities of some newer models, from air frying to browning to grilling, you might depend on your microwave more than ever. How to shop. Countertop microwaves are the biggest part of the market by far, with 59% of people currently owning or planning to buy one within the year, according to market research firm Mintel. Only 24% own or plan to purchase built-in varieties, which include over-the-range models, Mintel says. Drawer-style microwave ovens represent a small part of the market. Countertop models come in a wide range of sizes. We categorize those we test as small, mid-sized, and large, and you'll find the best and worst of them on the following pages. Both countertop and built-in microwaves offer extra features beyond the typical heat and defrost. Built-ins tends to have more features, but usually need to be installed by a pro. Take note of what you routinely make. Simply firing up leftovers, you'll do fine with a high performer from a Raider that skips the bells and whistles and added cost. But if you tend to use your microwave to prepare a variety of dishes, a model that grills or browns will help to get dinner on the table faster. What to avoid? Small microwaves with a capacity of less than 0.9 cubic feet of internal space tend to be underpowered, so food takes longer to heat up. You're better off squeezing a mid-sized bottle, 0.9 to 1.2 cubic feet, which will provide a 1,000 watts of power as opposed to a mere 700. And the expert tip, for maximum convenience, opt for a model with a sensor feature. This eliminates guesswork by sensing the moisture emitted from your food and adjusting the cook time accordingly. And the small top ones are Gallants GLC, Danby DBN, Commercial Chef CHM, and Insignia NS. None of them got really high scores. The Microsoft, the Panasonic got the best score on the mid-size countertop microwaves. And large countertop microwaves, there's four. Panasonic NSE785S, Panasonic NNSN77HS, the Panasonic NNSD75SS, and the LG MSWE15L. Doesn't that Panasonic kind of get a feeling that that's how it's going? Next year we'll look at air fryers, toaster ovens, and one other thing, and I can't find it. Hang on a second. There we go. And toasters. Meanwhile, let's close out with a little humor. Or better yet, how about some quotable quotes? I love asking questions. I've done a pretty decent job of surrounding myself with smart people, and I'm going to take full advantage of that. That's by Kristen Bell, an actor. Failure is when you don't try to do something as well as you can. When you try to do your best, you have a clear conscience, and that's never a failure. That's Carlo Ancelotti, a Real Madrid soccer team manager. It's fairly easy to send an innocent person to prison. It's very difficult to get one out. That's by John Grisham, author and lawyer. You don't have to know all the right moves. You just need to know the next one. That's from Oprah Winfrey. And since this is the last of 2023, I will wish everyone a very, very happy and blessed year and a wonderful and promising new year. And with that, we've run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next year, and thanks so much for listening.